Exodus chapter number 1. Once you found Exodus chapter number 1, our reading this morning will begin at verse number 7. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 7. Here is where God says these words. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, which is able to make us wise unto salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the inspired word of God, which is all we need if we were to obey, to walk in the path of righteousness and right living. Dear God, I ask that you might bless the reading of your word to our hearts, to the edification of our souls, dear God, that to some great measure, each one of us might be changed, that we might be changed to be like Christ. Now guide us and direct us, dear Father, as we delve into the word of God to hear what you have to say. We ask for your will to be done. Take complete control, dear Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let us all sing, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You can have your seat at this time in God's presence. This morning's message pertains to the matter of this right here. The title of the text, I give it this title. The power to persevere. The power to persevere. We read here in Exodus chapter number 1, verses 7 through 14, of what's happening to the children of Israel. The Bible says that they were fruitful and increased abundantly. The Bible says they multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the Bible says, and the land was filled with them. You know where they are? They're in Egypt. They're slaves. They're in the house of bondage. But God's people, the Bible says, were fruitful. God's people increased abundantly. God's people multiplied. God's people waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. In a wicked land. In a worldly land. If we're going to reciprocate to God in fulfilling the purpose for which he made us, we need to access God We need to access the grace of God and get busy living in His power. See, our circumstances are no excuse for our stagnation. Our circumstances are no excuse for our stagnation. We see right here in the Bible where God's people are, but we see how God's people performed. The hymn writer says, time is filled with swift transition. None unmoved on earth can stand. Build your hope on God's eternal word. Hold to God's unchanging hand. If we do that, it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter in what land we dwell. We will prosper. Now, prosperity isn't just getting things like money or houses, clothes, or cars. No, no. True prosperity is the salvation of one's soul and our walk with God. See, all those other things can be byproducts. We don't seek the gifts. We seek the giver. We don't seek the creation. We seek the creator. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be sunny side up. There are going to be times in your life when it's going to be stormy. But as we look to God, He has promised, and we sang it this morning, our congregational hymn, standing on the promises of God. Where are you standing? Are you standing on the promises? Are you standing on God's promises? There are going to be times when your finances have trouble, when your health is an issue, and there's going to be a time when it seems like things just aren't going your way. But remember what took place here in Exodus chapter number 1. God's people, they had sold themselves over to Egypt. They were slaves. Don't you remember how they had gotten where they are? Some 400 years before this particular time, how that the world had a famine, but God had a provision. God used young Joseph, and Joseph going into Egypt, having been sold into Egypt as a slave or a servant, God used him to save the world. God's people came down into Egypt to get bread, and they lived there. When their money ran out to buy bread, they sold their cattle and their horses. When their money and their cattle was gone to buy bread, they sold themselves. And that's where they are right now. But God had not left them. The Bible says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. Here we are in 2017 in what we call the United States of America. This republic. God's people, we have so many freedoms, so many opportunities, so many privileges. We ought to be fruitful in this land. Yes, America is under attack from outside, both foreign and domestic. But you and I have a personal responsibility to stand up for America. You and I have a personal responsibility to stand up for America. Are you not a citizen in this nation? You should stand up for what the founding fathers laid down. You say, well, I'm not a citizen. You benefit and you experience the privileges and the benefits and the opportunities of America. Stand up for what's right. There are still some vestiges of what is right in America. There are still some Christians walking the walk and talking the talk in America. There are still some godly families in America. There are still some families, may not be the numbers that there previously had been. It may be. We're not going to find out from the media. The media is not going to tell you the truth. The president calls them fake news. But there's still some folks that want to live right. There's still some young men that want to grow up and get married and have a family and have a decent family and raise their children the right way and teach them what's right and teach them to avoid what's wrong. There's still families like that in America. There's still families that get up on Sunday morning and everybody drive, leave out the house and they head to church. There's still a lot of them in America. God has promised that there will be a remnant. This morning we're looking at some of them at Grace Baptist Church. We can still be fruitful. Even if this becomes a land of affliction, we can still be fruitful in a land of affliction. We can still increase abundantly. We can still be multiplied. We can still exceed with might in America. God's people did it here in Egypt. And Egypt, which it was an actual place, is a picture of the world. But God's people were working, even in that society as slaves, they were fruitful. They were abundant in increase. They multiplied. The Bible says, waxed exceeding mighty. They're slaves now. They waxed exceeding mighty. A strong people. A strong people. Not in their homeland. Not yet in the promised land. But they waxed exceeding mighty. See, as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no excuse for failure in our walk in this land. We need what I call this morning the power to persevere. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm just having a hard time at my place of employment. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, you just don't understand. My money is funny. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He said, you don't understand how that the media and society is against me and Satan is against me. The Bible says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and he's not willing for you to be tempted above that which you're able. But what he will do is he'll make a way for you to escape that you may be able to bear it. Time is filled with swift transitions. Things are just constantly changing in America, in our communities. In the morning, you can wake up in the morning and the birds are chirping and the sun is shining, but before the sun sets, it's storming and it seems like everything is just totally out of sorts. But God never changes. God never changes. Time is filled with swift transitions. None unmoved on earth can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. We need the power to persevere. You could be in a season of life where if you happen to stumble and fall, you can jump right back up. You remember how that when you were much younger, you'd be out playing on the playground or playing out on the ball field or playing in the front of the backyard. You're running and playing, you trip and you fall, or you're riding your bicycle and you make a wrong turn and the wheel gets out of order and you fall out off your bike and you just jump right up. You might be in that stage of life now that if you had the guts or the nerve to get on a bicycle and you fail, you might not get up so quickly. You may have to lay there a while and say, Lord, would you please help me to get up? Maybe that's where you are in life right now. Or you could be in that season of life that if you were to stumble and fall, your body sounds like Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop. But God is with you. God is with you. Time is filled with swift transitions. And if your life ain't got there yet, if you're still kind of young, just keep on living. Just keep on living. You got to have the power to persevere. So let me give you a few points, then we're going to be out of here so we can go and live this out. Point number one, write it down if you can. I believe a short pencil is better than a long memory. Point number one, life is a series of seasons. Life is a series of seasons. Point number one. Also, make this Bible reference for point number one. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. The preacher here in Ecclesiastes says this right here. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Life is a series of seasons. And many of these times we cannot control. We can't control them. I mean, there are seasons when you are encouraged, and the truth of the matter is, for the child of God, there can be seasons when you are discouraged. There are times when you're struggling, there's times when you're thriving. And as we look at the children of Israel in this text right here, the Bible reveals that they are in a season of thriving. These people are experiencing the promises of God and the promises that God gave to Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would multiply Abraham's seed. He's doing it right here. God fulfills his word. God fulfills his word. Now, if we could just only get the believers to believe it, then there'd be a change. Because once we believe what God has said, it will translate into our disposition. It will manifest itself in our actions. When we really believe God, when we really believe God, we're more encouraged, we're more enthused, we're more excited, we're more positive, we're more optimistic when we believe God. And this promise was passed on from Abraham to Isaac, and Isaac passed it on to Jacob and Esau. And this promise even carried over to generations that followed. It kept going to, by the time you get to the end of the book of Genesis, Joseph has died. He's gone off the scene. The Bible says in verse 6 here, look at your text. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Verse number 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. They're in bondage, but the land is filled with them. See, they didn't let their environment stifle their growth. They didn't wait on other people to be encouraged about God before they were encouraged about God. They didn't wait until they weren't excited about God once the church got filled. They were excited about God when the church was almost empty. They weren't excited about what God could do in their life after God had already done something in their life, or waited on God to do something in other people's life. They took God at his word and followed through. Amen. How about us in 2017? You know, our theme this year is heaven seen in 2017. How about we just trust God for what he has told us to do, walk in his word, believe it, follow through, practice it, and then we'll see it. And then we will see it. They were filled. This was their season. This was their time. I mean, they were thriving. They were increasing. They were multiplying. And what you're seeing is, you're seeing the fruit from the labor of somebody else. I want you to think right now, church. Who told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who led you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? In other words, whose labors did you take advantage of, and now you can benefit from them? Who was it? I remember the person that showed me how to be saved. I remember the person that led me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I remember when it was. I remember where it was. These folks here, they're benefiting from the labor of others. Each one of you are here today because somebody else prayed for you. Somebody else labored so that you can be here. I mean, you reached this season of your life because somebody else paved the way. You and I, we're not here because we were so smart, because one day we woke up and we said, let me get a Bible and let me show myself how to be saved. Somebody took the time. Somebody took the time to get with you and to reason with you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody laid out a clear, practical plan of salvation to you, and you acted on it. Somebody prayed for you. God's people are in a season of fruitfulness right here. Joseph is dead. He's gone on. And by the way, God has always made a distinction between his people and the world. This morning in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher talked about separation. 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 Jesus even recited this distinction in the New Testament when he dealt with some adversaries. John 8:44, when we talk about separation. John 8:44, he said, when he was talking to certain folks in the crowd, he told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And by the way, all the promises of God in the Bible are not for everybody. Not everybody. Not all the promises in the Bible are for everybody. God does lay down some qualifications. Some folks say, well, everybody is a child of God. Everybody in this world is not a child of God. Jesus just told these folks they were a child of the devil. There's going to always be a distinction between those who belong to God and those who don't. Right here that we read in the scriptures in Exodus chapter number 1, right here in this text, God's people had favor with Pharaoh. And by the way, the name Pharaoh, that's not his name. That's his title. That's his position. Like you may say king or emperor. God's people could worship the true God. And the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they worshiped their many false gods. While Joseph lived, he had favor with the Pharaoh. But after Joseph died, the season began to shift. Things began to change. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." There's a new administration. There's a new administration. There's a new king here. There's a new Pharaoh. There's a new sheriff in town. And the Bible says he didn't know anything about Joseph. America has a new sheriff in town. Right here, the previous Pharaoh gave Israel some leeway. The previous Pharaoh looked at Israel and saw a thriving. But the next Pharaoh, he looked at the same Israel. He didn't see a thriving. He saw a threat. The same people, but he saw them differently. He was bothered by their prosperity. He begins to take action. Look at verse number 9. Because he didn't see them as a thriving, he saw them as a threat. Verse 9 says, "And he said unto his people," he said to the Egyptians, "Behold, the people of Israel, the people of the children of Israel, are more and mightier than we." They're more than us. They are mightier than us. That's interesting. So let's see this new administration. Here's point number 2. Politics plays a part in the plight of the people. Politics plays a part in the plight of the people. We can be as spiritual as we want to be, but politics plays a part in the plight of the people. So much so that if we're not careful, if we're not prayerful, politics can creep into the church. We're praying for a church right now who are under attack. A certain faction has come in, or it's been there for a while. They've been an undertow for a while. But now they've risen up, and they are a smaller group than the majority. But they plan their politics. They're pulling the levers, yanking the strings, and unsavory things are happening. "And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we." politics playing a part in the plight of the people. I mean, the person in the seat of power can affect the entire kingdom. The person in the Oval Office can affect the entire nation. I have yet to understand. In this political process that we've had, what, 200 years or so? I've yet to understand how that, now that we're getting this new administration in, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every president of the United States that we've ever had has never had 100% of the support of the people. I mean, the one that had it the previous 8 years didn't have support. He only had about 50% too. But I didn't see this rioting, this stuff going on that's going on now. The person in the seat of the power can affect the entire kingdom. That person's decision will shape or reshape, will resurge or replace the previous leadership. They're doing some replacements of what happened the previous 8 years. Some folks don't like it. I would be so bold as to say many of these folks that are protesting and picketing and rioting, a lot of them didn't go to the voting booth. A lot of them didn't go to the voting booth. We need to be very prayerful and very careful who we put in the seat. And we dare not fail to pray for them. You don't like him? You don't have to like him, but if you're saved, you need to pray for him. The Bible says, I exhort that first of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the Bible. Everyone who says that they are a child of God, everyone who says that they're born again, everyone who says that they're saved, everyone who says that Jesus Christ is their Savior, they need to be praying for that man and his family. If they can get a prayer through. Politics plays a part in the plight of the people, of any people. By the way, that was 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2 or so. So this new Pharaoh, he didn't have respect for Joseph's God because he didn't know Joseph's God. I also noticed that his perspective was based on his prejudice. Watch this. I've been noticing some things, even watching some of this fake media and some of this not so fake media. And I considered something. A group of women can stand in downtown Fayetteville at the city square and they can raise banners to support abortions and call a civic, and they'll be called a civic-minded organization. They can do that. A group of Christians can meet in that same location and hold up banners proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll be called a radical fundamental organization. Hate groups. Intolerant. Politics plays a part in the plight of the people. Pray for this new president. He's under the gun. It is so unreasonable the way some people are behaving. They expect him to do in 6 weeks or to undo in 6 weeks what has been done in the last 8 years. Really? They're criticizing him from the word go. Pray for him. He needs our prayers. I don't have a problem with the news media or the newspapers or the people trying to make sure they keep a check and balance with him with what he's doing. Not a problem with that. If he's wrong, he's wrong. And he will make mistakes. The previous 44, 45 made mistakes. He will too. He's under the gun. He's under attack. He's under pressure. I know he's not perfect, but if you can get a prayer through to heaven, pray for him. Pray for him daily, regularly. Point number 3. We're moving along here. People will, get this now, people will do you based on how they view you. People will do you based on how they view you. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, get this warning. Look not on his countenance, for man looketh on the outward appearance. The Bible says in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We are to judge. Sometimes people say, don't judge me. We are to judge. You better not get out on that road and have no judgment. The new Pharaoh looked at the exact same people that the old Pharaoh saw, and the change in what he would do was based upon how he would view. He was doing what he was doing because of what he was viewing. And as a result of his view, God's people were afflicted. They were afflicted. And as it happened then, it happens today. Some people never call you, that is, until they need something from you. You'll have relatives you don't know, you haven't seen them, talk to them in weeks or months, but they have a need and they think you can help them. They call you. They don't call you for prayer. They don't call you for a conversation or for camaraderie or fellowship. They'll call you because they want something out of you, because they view you, and no sooner they're done with that, you don't hear from them again. Because they do you because of the way they view you. They want what your God has provided for you, but they don't want your God. They see how that over the years, God has blessed your life. And there is a consistency of God's provisions on your life. They've not served God. They've not been faithful to him. They've not obeyed him. In fact, they've been rebellious to him. Don't want the giver, but they want the gifts. I know it's true. I get those calls myself. The church gets calls like that. Folks that have never been here, but they have a need, a financial need, and the phone is ringing off the hook back there in the office. Get regularly called. Yeah, the church can and should help people, but we've got to be discreet. We've got to be discerning. Folks that sometimes come here before the service. I mean, I've had folks who come here and they'll come here and they say, what time the service starts? What they're trying to find out is what time is the service over? They won't come in for the prayer. They won't come in for the worship. They won't come in for the congregational songs. They won't come in for the preaching of the word of God. They won't come in to hear from God. They come in for the money. That's the truth. That's the truth. And when they call and when I see them or talk to them, one of the first things that crosses my mind to ask them is this right here. Did you go to your pastor? Did you go to your church? They don't have one. They haven't tried to get one. They want to get something from the church, use it, and then be on their way. That's the fact. So they will do us because of the way they view us. Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, there are people who will avoid you because they don't know how you have accomplishments in your life that they don't have. Some of them do, some of them don't, but they'll avoid you. They don't want your Christ, but they want your cash. Some people in this world, they don't like you. They don't really know you. But they don't like you because you don't seem to compromise and you don't go with the crowd. You don't go with the group. They don't like you because you won't let your children spend the night at their cousin's house. Oh, you think you're better. No, you don't think that your child is better. You know that your child is not better. So that's why you don't let them go. Look at verse number 9. Pharaoh speaking here. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Verse 10. Come on! Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. The Pharaoh would view them a certain way, so that's why he decided to do them a certain way. You need to understand that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. The Pharaoh's mindset was, it was couched and positioned in a place where if he were in the place of the Israelites and his people were growing by leaps and bounds, then he would lead an insurrection. He figured, if I was them, this is what I'd do. So they may do that. They didn't look to him like thriving. They looked to him like a threatening. Verse number 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. The Pharaoh despised the Israelites, but they realized that they needed the children of Israel. Anything that Pharaoh had the Israelites build benefited the Pharaoh and not necessarily the people of Israel. Let me give you a thought to consider. Make sure that your service to others is based on your service to God. Make sure that your service to others is based on your service to God. Listen to this right here. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 5 through 8, servants, be obedient to them which are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart. But it says, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We get up and we're enthusiastic about our place of employment. We go there and we work. Let it be as unto God. And not because we're trying to get a promotion. Our service unto God. Many things the supervisor and the manager will never see, but God sees all. He goes on to say, with goodwill doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. When we are men pleasers, we've set our sight entirely too low. Too low. Now let's look at verse number 12 back in Exodus chapter 1. The Bible says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Here's something that I notice about the faithful people of God. There is something about people who have had to overcome adversities. The faithful people of God, the more they face trials, the stronger they get. The more they are afflicted, the more they multiply. The faithful people of God access, use, and engage the power to persevere. The power to persevere. Now, sometimes we'll lose sight that this world is not our home. Don't expect everything to go your way. Don't expect that when you're working and you're serving in your community or at your church or at your place of employment, don't expect that once you've done that service, you're recognized, you're compensated, you're rewarded, you're praised. Look unto God. He won't forget what you've done. Does not the Bible say God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor in the Lord? He remembers. And the Bible teaches us time and time again that we will reap what we sow. We need the power to persevere. I wrote down a little practical definition for perseverance. Perseverance is the persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in order to achieve success. Let me read that again. Perseverance is the persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in order to achieve success. Perseverance is what causes us to keep on keeping on. We're not going to look at our surroundings and our environment and say, well, I've been doing this for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, and nothing's happening. I quit. Perseverance is, I'm not going to stop until I succeed. I'm not going to take no for an answer. God has told me to do it. I will continue to do it, quite simply because God told me to do it, and God never fails. I keep on. I keep on keeping on. Perseverance is grabbing those bootstraps that God gave you and going forward with everything, giving your every effort. Perseverance is knowing that, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Perseverance is knowing that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Things can be difficult. Times can be tough. It seems like sometimes, like you're going through the flames of fire. You know, sometimes the world says, well, it's like I'm just going through hell on earth. Listen to what Winston Churchill said. If you're going through hell, keep going. Keep going. There's something on the other side. Perseverance says, I cannot stop. Perseverance says, this is why I was made. I must fulfill the purpose for which God made me. I cannot stop. This is my calling. Winston Churchill also said, never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Power to persevere. And then verse number 12. Let's try to finish up here this morning. The Bible says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Perseverance is a step, but it's a step at a time. Your walk in Christ is a step at a time. There's some things that you've gone through in your life already, if you just take the time to think about it. There's some things that you've already gone through that you thought would be your end. But here you are today because you persevered. There have been times in your life, I know, because as I look around the congregation, I see people that have lived long enough in this old world to have gone through things that you somehow doubted that you'd make it through, but you persevered, and here you are today. You've had some heartache, you've had some pain, you've had some disappointments, you've had some troubles, some trials, some temptations, storms, and some struggles, but you persevered, and here you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Whatever the world, the flesh, or the devil hurl at you, you can handle it. You've handled it before. You can handle it again. The power of perseverance. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, I don't mean somebody told you that you're a child of God, but rather God has told you you're his child. He has given you the grace, or what I call the power of perseverance. Keep going for God. It's going to be hard. It's going to be stormy. There will be troubles. We're promised that in the Bible. But Jesus says, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Let us all stand for prayer.